Call me old man Waves.
Damn you, old man!
Wait.
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man. You smell like fart.
No. Man.
Old man.
Wait. He's so old, he got a podcast on cassette.
Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade.
So hopefully the audio still works, because we had a really, 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 really good conversation, and we were discussing a lot of stuff going on with the trans community. I don't remember the last thing you said, but it seemed like, Javi, you seemed like you had a question that you wanted to ask.
I was trying to just make the point that a lot of racist people, a lot of transphobic people, a lot of homophobic people, they don't know a lot of they don't know anybody in the groups that they hate, right? So what happens is that they tend to apply their own worldview, whatever made up nonsense that they heard on whatever conservative, you know, news that they listen to, right? And they apply that to the intentions of those groups. So again, when it comes to Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter isn't about, you know, getting Black people the rights they deserve in society. It's about killing white people, right? And when it comes to trans people, in the eyes of transphobic people, it isn't just the way these people were born, right? Not even a choice. You were born this way. I didn't choose to be me. I didn't choose to have this kind of beard, right? That's just how I liked it, but whatever.
Well, it's that idea that if somebody else gets, if we get equal treatment, that they somehow get less. That's the whole
group. Exactly. The more rights one group gets, right, they feel the less rights they get, their rights are eroded as our rights grow, and honestly, I don't know how you can even get somebody like J.K. Rowling to change her viewpoint. I mean, it happens sometimes, like a politician, they find out that their son or daughter is gay or whatever, and they magically become open to the plight of the LGBTQ community. That might have to happen to her. Honestly, I don't know. It's a little depressing. Sorry about that.
I used to have this conversation a lot at work, because I worked with a lot of, like, women in their late 50s to 60s that were white, who, like, when the whole bathroom, so Mass General immediately started putting up inclusive bathrooms. So, like, instead of a female-only bathroom or a male-only bathroom, it was a general gender-neutral bathroom. And I worked with this woman who literally lost her shit, and I had to be like, no, listen, what you're saying is absolutely preposterous. First of all, it's a single fucking stall. Calm down, Karen. Like, it's one bathroom, like, that has one toilet in it. Like, what are you talking about?
It's a bathroom at your house, though.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that, and that was the point I used with her. I was like, do you keep your husband from using the same toilet as you? Like, do you
guys don't have gender-specific bathrooms at home?
Had a lot of conversations about that, and then another big thing, like, I worked somewhere else where we actually had a doctor who was transgender. He was male. Love him still to this day. We're Facebook friends. His name is literally Dr. Dre. I fucking love it.
Of course it is.
Literally my favorite physician in the world. He's a surgeon, like a really good surgeon, like. And all of a sudden, rumors started flying around about him being transgender. And they happened to end up being true, but people had nasty, negative shit to say about it. And, like, literally, whenever I heard people talking shit, I'd shut it down, because I don't believe in that shit. Like, he's a person. What the fuck are you talking about, first of all? Secondly, it's none of your fucking business. Like, and if you have a question for him, ask him yourself. Like,
and you can do it in a polite
exactly.
manner.
Exactly.
You can do it in a polite manner if you have questions and stuff like that. But
well, that's what we're walking into right now with everything that's going on in the world, is that we all literally have supercomputers in our hands. We all have the ability now to access the internet. So instead of back in the day when we had to, like, go find an encyclopedia and go to the library and go actually get work, you know, we had to go look through this information. We're at a point in our lives where we literally have all the, we could gather that information right now if we actually put the effort in. And people are happy being in their bubbles, and they don't want that to change. And so when you only surround yourself with just a small bit of information, and if you only get your information from sources like Facebook, that algorithms, and are only going to show you what you want to see, you're never going to branch out. And my whole thing with it is that there's a severe lack of, like, not only are you intentionally, you're being willfully ignorant. Like, you're choosing to not do the information, right? To get yourself, because you have, at any point, you can go find out this information. You don't have to ask your black friend or your gay friend or your female friend. You could literally go find it yourself, right?
You're lazy.
Right. But it, beyond the laziness and willful ignorance, I'm finding problematic is the lack of empathy.
Yes. That's huge.
The fact that you're not even willing to look at a person and see them as a human being.
What do you mean?
Because, okay, so look at this.
I'm just being an asshole.
So, okay, but I mean, like, think about the fact that every time an innocent black man is killed, they always bring up his past.
Yes.
And they always say, like, I literally saw somebody bring up, well, George Floyd had cocaine in his pocket.
Who gives
so
a fuck?
So that means he had the right to get murdered on camera? Like, how did those two things equate with each other? It doesn't mean this is still a human being. Like, I don't care that he did X, Y, Z, whatever in the past, or that he had drugs in his pocket. Like, it doesn't justify murder.
Whoa.
And the fact that no one is even, like, why is it even why is it even part of the conversation? But, like, there's this weird justification now. So the lack of empathy there, just the refusal to see humans as human beings is what's baffling to me. That's the thing that's blowing my mind.
It always gets me that, like, you also have the situation where you'll have the asshole who went to a church and shot a bunch of people who was walked into prison like he was, you know, like a senator. And then you have...
They took him to Burger King.
Yeah.
Right? And like, then, you ever see that? You think you're going to see them bring a black man to Burger King?
Oh, then you have the fucking kid who was, who attempted to rape that woman by a dumpster.
No, he raped her.
Oh, he actually did.
It wasn't an attempt. He raped her.
Literally inside her with his joggers came by and pulled him
off of her. Yeah.
And he got 3 months in jail.
No, he was supposed to get 3 months.
He got time served.
All he talked about was how good he could have been. Yeah. When a black man, it's a black man, it's all about, like, all these horrible things he was. But then when it's a white man, it's like, oh, well, look what he could have become.
And this brings me to a question I asked earlier. It's good that we're fighting now. I believe in it. We need to keep the pressure up. But what do we replace it with? Because in order for somebody like that to get away with rape, these issues have to be so systemic that people are above the law, right? Like, this issue, white supremacy, you know, racism, trans and homophobia, like, all those things are endemic to the society we live in. Like it's built on those things. And when we, and say if by some hope we win, right, one of these fights, what do we replace it with? And like I said before, like I hate going to the next because I feel like it distracts from the moment. But I can't stop thinking about a video of a young black trans woman getting beat down by a group of black men, right? And then it just brings me back to the sins of our own community. Are we ready to get into the forefront of society? Like. Do we still have demons that we need to fight? And if we do win, and we do take some back of this liberty and freedom, like, what do we do with it? Do we still...
Well, we keep going. Yeah. It goes on to the next fucking car.
Here's the thing. So, because I'm mixed race, I have a very unique perspective on the world because I see all of it for what it is, right? I'm very clear. I've had this conversation with Mark so many damn times because if I'm in a room full of white people and there's one other black person there, I'm a sister, we look each other in the eye, it's known.
Head nod, right?
You get the nod. If I'm in a room full of black people, I'm the house nigger. Mm. Full stop. I'm light skinned, I'm muddied, I'm not the same, right? No matter what, I'm getting othered. I'm also queer, okay? And I understand all of these different aspects, right? I look at the world and I can see these things for what they are, right? So yes, the black community has some serious work to do because for a group of people who understand what it feels like to be marginalized, the hatred towards gays is real, okay? Huge. But also the hatred of ourselves is real.
Oh my God, yeah.
And are not given space to have emotions. Like, they are not given space to recognize mental illness. It is, you guys, it, there is this constant browbeating with our own, in our own society of, like, we, you guys have to be this, and honestly, it really boils down to, like, men in general, because we have a really crappy patriarchal society, and toxic masculinity is real, and men aren't supposed to feel feelings. You guys are supposed to only exude anger and, you know, control, because that's what's men. Like, that's not healthy.
What? I'm gonna go clean my gun. I'm gonna go build a car in my garage.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, you guys aren't allowed. You guys, even from a I'm talking, it goes down in the stuff. When I talk about this kind of stuff, I'm like, it is where you don't even see it. Why is it that light, that even in mythology, elves, there's light elves, which are the good ones, and then
dark elves are the
bad
ones.
Like, our society teaches us that black magic is obviously the bad stuff, right? It teaches you, even as a child, that that's not okay. So when we tell a kid, oh, he hit you because he likes you, you're literally conditioning a little girl to be like, you can accept that pain because it starts at the beginning. And we tell boys, instead of saying, we tell girls, boys mature, women mature faster than men, right? So when a boy acts out, we don't tell him, I need you to be better. We tell a girl, well, let's make excuses for him because you're more mature. We are told, even as kids, that we are supposed to, and it starts then. It's these little things that add up, right? Just like how we talk about microaggressions to black people, like the stuff that we get on a daily freaking basis, and that's why people are so mad as they are right now, is because I'm getting these tiny little paper cuts all damn day long, and then you throw a bucket of salt water on me.
Damn, that's true. Yeah, shit.
So it's these little things all the time, right? We're getting them, and it's the entire system. It's not just one thing. It's all the things. So, like, I'm going to give you guys a list right now, okay?
Okay.
You said, what could we change, right? So what do we do if we get what we want, right? And what do we do if we get hurt, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? Funding to our schools. Funding to state and national parks. Funding for environmental protections. Funding for Medicare. Funding for food safety. Funding for the postal service. Funding for sciences. Funding for art, okay? For social services, for food stamps, for after-school programming, for mental health services, for public transportation, for housing assistance, for disability benefits, for college grants and school loans. If we, all of these things have been defunded all throughout the years, and all of that money has gone to the police force for more weaponized military-grade weapons, right? This is, we're giving the police force militarized weapons. Our defense budget is so insane that if we took 1% of it, we could literally fund all of
everything else.
Everything that's on this list, we could literally give ourselves universal health care and forgive all student loan debt for 1% of what we spend on our military budget. So here's the thing. If we all know that our police force is reactionary, it is not proactive, right? We are all in agreement that it is all about reaction, right? I have a personal protection permit because I have a stalker, okay? And they're to the point where when he has any contact with me whatsoever, I'm supposed to call the police and make a report, right? They don't even show up anymore. I'm just supposed to call and let them know what he did, okay?
Damn.
They're not going to actually do anything, okay? They're not going to do anything. They're just going to file a report. So if I'm finally, because he was hiding in the bushes outside the mall where I worked, by the way. So if he happens to finally get me one day and he attacks me and something happens to me, then they'll have a paper trail and say, oh, well, we can throw the book at him because, you know, we've got a paper trail on this guy a mile long. They're not going to stop him from doing anything, but they're going to say, oh, well, we have a paper trail, right? That's all that's going to happen from that. So if a girl gets raped and a guy and a cop shows up, which is what happens, right, with his gun, he isn't there to stop the crime. He isn't there. He's there to freaking take a report, right? Anyone can write a report, right? So why can't a social worker be the one to show up and write that report and give her information and tools to handle the trauma that she's just experienced and show her ways to how she can better herself, right? Anyone can take that rape kit and throw it in a room and never have it be tested. Why do we need a police officer to do it? We don't, right? Since all their positions are all reactionary, we need people who are actually trained in those positions to help these people, because they're not stopping any crimes, guys. They're just responding to crimes.
So,
that's all that they do.
I had this conversation actually recently, and I used rape as an example because somebody was like, oh, people are talking about defunding the police. What are you going to do when somebody comes and rapes you? I said, what happens now? I was like, do you know what happens when somebody gets raped? Do you understand what happens? I said, I do because I've been in a room. I've actually had to sit through a girl telling her story about getting raped and then having to tell it again and then having to tell it again and then having to tell it again because it's not good enough when you tell the first person. You have to go through five fucking people. And then they want to know where you were, how you were dressed, what were you doing, why were you out at night, what?
It's the nastiest thing. It's the nastiest thing in the world.
The last time I called the police to say, hey, Christopher broke his protective order, he called the store, he called me again, they said, well, we're not going to send a unit out, we're just going to call you back, and you're going to do this report over the phone. And do you know what the officer on the phone said to me? He said, I'm going to check out your Facebook profile. I want to see
what... What does that have to do with anything?
He said he wants...
I'm going to check out your Facebook profile because I want to see what all the fuss is about. Like, I somehow brought this on myself. One of the cops in front of me, on one of the 15 other times he's broken this protective order, okay? The cop looked me dead in the face and said, why you? What? I said, what do you mean, why me? Because he's crazy? I don't speak crazy. He said, well, did you, like, date him or something? So, like, first off, if I had...
What difference does it make?
What he's doing appropriate? That doesn't. First off, you know this guy's a panhandling idiot. Like, we all know that this guy's mentally unstable. He literally called me. He got picked up by the Richmond Mental Health Facility, and the day he got his privileges back, he called GameStop. Okay, so clearly the guy's mentally insane. But like, the fact that he asked me why me, like I somehow I'm the victim. Why are you assuming that I did something? And for the cop on the phone to be like, well, I want to see what you look like because I want to see what all the fuss is about, fuck you.
And there goes that lack of empathy you were talking about that seems pervasive, like across all the systems in our society. I apologize because, you know, we're super professional on the show. I don't think I was properly introduced to you.
Hobby.
Hobby, Shannon, Hobby. Shannon's the reason that I have any opinion in a light of she actually helped me with the relationship that I have with my little brother. When I found out that he was gay, I was like, I didn't know what to do, and I had a conversation with her about I was like I'm basically essentially conditioned to not understand something. And I remember the conversation. She goes, do you love your little brother? I go, well, of course I do. She goes, then nothing else really matters. Yeah. And it was really that simple. And she invited me to her house, invited me to all her parties, around all her friends. Hey, come to the gay pride parade. If you don't feel comfortable walking, just hang in the car with Lavelle. Next year, hey, why don't you come and dress up with the rest of us? Why don't you just, like, you know, hey, come to the parties. Just
following year, Mark, full drag.
It's just true. But the thing is, Mark, that you actually were like, I'm not just trying to dismiss my brother. I don't understand it, but I'm not trying to dismiss it. And so, like, I feel like it's what brought me. So I, like, I the only public thing video I've ever put online was a couple years ago when Kaepernick was taking a knee, because I have in-laws now that were posting all this, like, he's against the
right.
It's unpatriotic and blah, blah, blah. First off, last time I checked, this was a democracy and not a dictatorship. So patriotism can't be forced in this country. So, like, this whole, like, it's unpatriotic thing, your argument is moot because you don't have to be patriotic. But I was feeling this sort of way because these are people who claim to love me, and I felt like I wasn't seen. So I shared some personal experiences of things that have happened to me in hopes that they can look me in the eye and look at a person that they know and hear their experience, because I feel like when you know somebody and you share these experiences, that maybe it helps them see you as a person instead of just another nameless face or another new sign, and that it would make them open their eyes and communicate more, right? And so that's what my hope was. It did not work, but I gave it a shot because I was hoping that, like, if you could look me in the eye and see the pain that was caused to me, that you couldn't just as easily dismiss me.
Yeah.
That's my hope. But
so I had this conversation with one of my... Well, I wouldn't call her my friend. She's like a friend of a friend that's on my Facebook.
Acquaintance.
Yeah. She kept on going in about, she's like, she's crazy on the fucking, like, the whole, like, no, the Black Lives Matter is not right. Like, they're just, they're like, where's their money going to? Where's their this? What? It's promoting violence and rioting. Why aren't they speaking out against that? Like, why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they doing that? So she goes through this whole thing. She's like, what's this white privilege thing is bullshit. I said, do you understand? I don't think you understand what it means. Like, because most people, white people, don't actually know what white privilege means. Well, they think it's something to attack them.
Well, people hear white privilege and they think that that means that they've never had any hardship.
Yes.
And it's like, well, yeah, because it's all about them. That's the whole thing, is it's all about when the whole world
revolves around you.
The media that you consume is literally catered to you. No wonder they think everything's about them.
Yes.
Like, you, everything they consume is catered to them. So, like, I get why they think it's about them. But
when you're comfortable, you become a little fragile, you know?
Well,
oh, yeah. Because you have any, I mean, yes, nobody's saying that you've never had any hardships, and nobody's saying that your life has been roses, but
it's all relative.
So,
but
like,
just because you've amounted to very little despite that privilege doesn't mean it doesn't.
No,
you had a head start, I promise you.
So we had a conversation about it, and she came up with, so I started to tell her things like how you were telling your family. I was like, the first, you know, when I first bought my home, I brought my home in a really predominantly white area. I bought my house in East Bridgewater. I don't know if, Shannon, you lived around here. I don't know if you know about it. So it's a very colorless area. And it is very, it has its very racist aspects. But at the time, yes, it's bad. So at the time, my fiance, who I was engaged to, he was blonde hair, blue eyed. Like, it was his grandmother's home. He wanted to buy it because he didn't want to see it to go out of the family. And I was like, all right, fine. And I was explaining to her how I got pulled over systematically every day for like months. And then finally, a cop pulled in behind me in the driveway. I literally didn't move. I was like frozen in my car, and he's screaming in my face, what the fuck are you doing in this driveway? And I'm crying, and I was 19, mind you. I was 19 years old. I said, I live here. This is my house, like crying. I literally had to walk this man in my house, use my key, open the door, let him go through my shit so he could find my mortgage papers, because I was too afraid to open the drawer myself, because it'd be an excuse, right? It'd be an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
I did something, right? So I let him go through my shit. Man didn't even apologize, left, right? I go to the police station to talk to their police chief, and he laughed at me. He legit laughed in my face. So I tell her this whole fucking story, right? How I'm sobbing, how it was so upsetting, how whatever. And she goes, well, then you should have been like Black Karen. And she goes through this whole thing, right, about being Black Karen, right? She goes through this whole thing, and I go, listen to me. This is what you don't understand. If I was Black Karen, I wouldn't be alive to tell you this right now. Or I'd be in prison, or I would have been hurt. Something would have happened to me. I don't have the right. I said, that's what you don't understand. It is your privilege to be Karen. It is not my privilege to be Black Karen. And I said, and the sad part is I'm not even that dark. I said, I'm mixed, and I'm feeling that way. I said, how the fuck do you think it feels for someone darker than me, especially a male, like with what's happening right now? I said, what are you not understanding about all of this? That you don't get that the what we're fighting for is so my husband doesn't die.
Maria doesn't even want me to like walk the dog outside because it's a pit bull, and they might see a big Black guy with tattoos.
With a pit bull in West Roxbury, and what are they gonna think, right? Like, what are they gonna think? I literally, it was the first thing I fucking said to Mark. I was like, Mark. He was like, I can bring the dog out. I said, absolutely not. I'm not going to let you bring the dog out right now. I said, I know it sounds fucked up, but I don't trust any of these fucking people around here not to look at you as a big tattooed Black man with a fucking pit bull and have it be a problem. Mind you, my niece's dog is the biggest bitch you will ever meet. He's a crybaby. He loves everybody. He just wants to play with you.
Most pit bulls are, but like, but
that's the stereotype.
That cop that was literally looking for a suspect was walking around outside in uniform and had the cops called on him. He was in fucking uniform, but because he was Black and he was outside of somebody's house, the woman inside the house felt the need to call the police on him. Like, it doesn't matter.
I've seen all kinds of crazy shit.
So I just wanna, like, society sucks for Black people. I think that's all news to us, and I think that it's something that's becoming way more prevalent in the minds of people. nowadays for whatever reason. George Floyd was definitely a catalyst. Like, I don't know why it happened this way. There's a lot of factors. A lot of people were home.
You know? I think a lot of people were home. I think that's things that a lot of people were home and they weren't working. And if they've got a way to make money right now, not, then people are taking it.
Which shows a lot. And I think that's like, that goes to a whole another conversation. You say earlier that, you know, we live in a democracy. And again, we were talking earlier about that as well. I hope that these demonstrations prove to people that a democracy is a participation sport, right? I said that earlier. Not only should we have forces like systems on the ground to be proactively fighting issues that we're dealing with, but I think the citizens, us individually, we should learn to be more proactive, not only on the ground, pressure is very important, but in the voting booths, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's the best way along with what we're doing now with the pressure that we're applying. Voting for people that are more susceptible to the pressure that we're applying.
Well, absolutely, but the thing is that the way they have the systems rigged is the lack of voting booths, the lack of communications, let know when the voting is happening, and then the way work schedules generally tend to be, they make the polling places only open for a specific amount of time, and most of us have to be at work and can't stand for 7 hours outside of a polling place to try and get in and get our vote. Look at Georgia, what happened in Georgia. Like, people, literally, this man waited over seven hours to get to vote, and so the systems are broken, and we need more people to be active participants in trying to fix it. And I think, and honestly, this is where I think, like, I know I lament social media and stuff because I know people don't really actually pay, like, a lot of attention, but I think this new generation is actually spreading that information more amongst each other in different ways. Like, I don't even use TikTok. My daughter does. She's 13, so she informed me all this stuff. But there's stuff that's getting spread now that's how these kids, there's all these rallies that have been happening that have been orchestrated by teenagers. Being that with their combined efforts, since they're going to be the ones coming up of a voting age, that if they keep this up, pressure up, that we'll actually start to see some change, because we're leaving the world messed up for these kids. Like, we aren't going to give them a chance. Like, we have to try and fix this. And, like, we need the Gen Xers to get off our butts and to, like, actually help these kids. You know what I mean?
I mean, I know my beard got a couple years on me, but I'm a millennial.
I look young, but I'm not. It's exact opposite.
I mean, you know, they say our people, you know, we blessed.
Before we go, I just want to say that Shenanigans, thank you for doing this. You just got off of work, so.
Your Shenanigans creations?
Yeah.
I follow you. I like the vagina ones.
Thank you.
Hilarious.
I'm about to put out new ones. Hey, while we're ending this on vaginas, can we just real quick?
Gonna, like, show us your vagina? I'm confused. You started to do a lot of moving.
I can show you a titty if you want.
It's funny, the man of me is like, okay, but the friend of me is like,
no,
please don't.
So, my husband just said, understandable. Here's a perfect example of unpacking your bias, right? So I am a brown woman, right? And I have been asked, I made these booty dicks a while ago.
Oh, shit.
Yes. We have our Trump voodoo dicks
a while ago, and it was a really funny story how the voodoo dicks came about, and with help from my mother, which was the funniest thing. And it was a gag, and then they turned out to be one of my best sellers, right? And I was like, I'm gonna be
wow.
That's a Trump voodoo dick.
Yeah, just to show you, we still have it.
Like, it was really great. Why is there a pin in it?
Because really? It's a voodoo dick, like a voodoo doll.
I don't know, but what you do, old man? It looks like Trump. Oh!
Yes! It is a Trump dick.
With my favorite part.
So that's why he's been in a bad mood lately. All right.
That's my, in a pin, my favorite part about it.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so he doesn't even know the story of the two dicks. Oh my god, I'll digress if I have to go into that. Okay, so.
I'm with it.
It's a prick for a prick, you know? For this it was from a gag, and ended up being one of my number one sellers. So I have cut and uncut, and I have lots of variations, lots of different colors of dicks, right? And I've been asked repeatedly at conventions to, why don't I have any vulvas? Like, why are there no vulvas? Like, where's my vaginas, right? So I was like, I'm gonna make them. There's lots of folds. I gotta figure out how to make them right and it's out of felt. Plus, my whole thing is that I put cute faces on everything that I make. And so I really wanted to make a little happy face on the clip because, like, hello, it's the happy button. So I wanted to make that a thing. So I'm getting the fabric together. It's during the quarantine. I finally caught up on back orders and I'm gonna make these vulvas. And I caught myself automatically going towards the pink and the white fabric.
Damn.
To eat vulvas for people because automatically the safe, make you feel good thing would be white. And I'm fucking brown, guys. Yeah. And I literally was like, I had to stop myself and I literally recognized what was happening and was like, hold up. My own perceived, I literally automatically, first off, I'm making a vagina. Like, who am I trying to, like, please here? Like, who am I trying to, like, not offend, okay? I'm making a vag. But, like, I literally automatically went for white colors. And, like, this next round, I've got a whole bunch. I've got all the different colors. But I purposefully was like, no, I'm going to make a brown vulva because guess what? We exist, too. And I'm not here for trying to make other people feel comfortable. I mean, I'm making a vulva, so who freaking cares? But, like, the fact that even on my own self, like, I literally had to stop. This was freaking weeks ago. I literally stopped what I was doing, and I was like, wow, unpack that. Why is that the automatic response? Because that's what I've been, so that's what you're spoon-fed. When you see stuff on TV, when you see it, it's all white. And I was like, I need to process that, step back. And I chose different colors after I caught myself and I caught that bias before I made that. So, like, it's an active, conscious effort that you need to do every single day. When you see two people walking down the street and you have a feeling, step back and be like, wait, why are you feeling
that way?
And unpack that on your own time. Like, you got to do the work yourself. And it doesn't, like, we're all fallible, right? There's sometimes you just have an automatic feeling.
You gotta
program,
man.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's, and the deprogramming is going to, it's a lifelong effort. Your whole life.
I was saying that to Mark, to old man. I was saying, like, racism is so interwoven, or like fear of the unknown, we'll say in general, even like women's rights, like racism, like being transphobic, being, you know, being homophobic, whatever, is so interwoven into American history. It's as American as like apple pie, right? Like everybody, if you say anything against those things, everybody gets so upset because it's so interwoven into our society that even ourselves, like you said, you had to check yourself. You had to stop yourself and be like, why am I choosing this? Like, why? And that's the real thing.
And that's the crux of it, is that we just have to be active in our deprogramming. Like, each one of us individually needs to check that bias. So, like, I know that there's, like, sites like People of Walmart are really popular and everybody's, people do stuff, like, they send pictures and stuff. And I've been actively, when anybody sends me a meme anymore that's just, like, literally making fun of, like, a person, right? I will check them on that meme and go, hey, I know that this just is supposed to be funny, but, like, so, like, there was one going around about a girl at Walmart with, like, crazy makeup or whatever. And I was like, what if she was feeling herself that day? What if that were paint that she just put on was how she was going to get through her day? Like, and all you guys are out here making fun of her and acting like it's some kind of way. She's just doing her best. She's doing what she's doing to make her feel good. Screw you guys for picking on her for it. Like, you have to be active in trying to be a better person and be more caring, because it's easy to fall back on that stuff. It's easy to just judge other people for their nonsense. Like, it's easy to just try and make other people feel good and not question. And I'm like, the older I get, the more I zero F's I give. So I'm consciously like, hey, that's not cool. Like, I get it. It was like you were trying to make a joke, but like, it's not actually that funny because, you know, this or, you know, whatever it is. I've been actively trying to check my own self, my own bullshit, because I can't get on other people for it if I'm not actively trying to be better myself.
And I think that gets on something, again, that you said that I think is powerful, saving. The importance of kind of empathy. Sorry, I've been drinking. If you're able to look at your own biases, look at the things that are keeping you from not looking like an ignorant bastard, right? And you do that work yourself, and you're proactive about it. You can develop that empathy. You don't have to wait until a family member becomes a member of a group that you hate to learn that those people are people, right?
Yes.
You can do that work yourself.
Yep.
That's powerful. That's dope.
But I feel like it all comes back to, I feel like everybody in the world has been hurt. Like, we've all been hurt, whether it's intentional or unintentional. And we know what it's like to, you know, feel that kind of pain. And...
Well, they say, hurt people.
Yeah, but it's like, but even then, like...
Work yourself. Stop bringing your trauma to other people. Stop bringing it with you. Like, okay, so that initial trauma, that initial thing that hurt you might not have been your fault. But if you start hurting other people because of it, now would you...
Yeah,
exactly.
And you're
an asshole.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, it is really difficult to, like, and I tell people all the time, it's funny, like, when I'm at work, and we have conversations about emotions, and I'm like, oh, I'm angry all the time. They're like...
But y'all just sitting around talking about emotions? You are definitely not.
I'm not black, and I'm not a male, apparently, if we talk about emotions and shit like that. But it's,
I mean, at work, that's super woke.
But it's like someone will ask me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm angry all the fucking time. And they're like, really? You don't look? And I'm like, I'm not going to bring my anger here. Like, you know what I mean? That just fucks up everyone's mood. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. You got to check your own stuff. And, like, you got to bring that, and you have to do the work. That's all. It's important.
But the people, the All Lives Matter people, the white people that aren't looking at this and are saying, oh, these protest rioters, whatever, they're not looking at themselves in the mirror because they don't want to. Because they don't want ugly truth.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's like, they don't want to...
There's no self-reflection.
Yes,
no.
Thank you. Like, people don't want to acknowledge that they're wrong. Like, when people have conversations Say it again?
He said especially white people.
Well, yeah. Well, because they don't, whether they believe it or not, they envision themselves as superiority. Sorry, white man in the back. But it's really how it's looked at, right? Like, if you really look at society as a whole, it really is, right? Like, white is, like, right? It's, like, where you want to be.
it's why, you know, back in my childhood, I remember, like, my female cousins only really having an option to pick white dolls, right?
Yeah.
Or Shannon, your experience, like, not even thinking about it, but almost instinctively picking up the lighter model vaginas, right? Like,
yeah.
That's a
like when you really think about it, right?
Okay, so a narrator, I was part of a podcast a few weeks ago, and he's an audiobook narrator, and he asked me, because it was about people of color in this author's group of books, and he said, when you read a character, who do you picture? And I said, I want to tell you that I picture people who look like me, but I don't. I said, my whole childhood has only been, look at all the media that we consume. I said, I automatically put people in white roles. I automatically assume the main character white until they tell me it's not. And that's awful. But that just shows you how society is built.
Yeah.
That, like, I am imagining a character when I literally can come up with anything I want. My default is, of course they're white. Of course they're white. Because why wouldn't they?
And it's funny, like, and one of the things, and to bring it back to characters, I remember the first time I saw Miles Morales, and it was a new Spider-Man, and my immediate reaction was, oh, it's just new Spider-Man, and then he took his mask off, and I was like, holy shit, he looks like me. Like, for me, that was a huge deal. And I remember years later, when Luke Cage and Jessica Jones were having a conversation with Miles, and Luke looked him dead in the face and goes, Spider-Man is a person of color. That's important.
Yeah.
And it's just little things like that that kind of remind myself and people who are growing up.
Okay.
Reading.
So there was, before Miles, years before, three, 4 years before, there's a Spider-Man issue where the black kid kept seeing Spider-Man swing around the city, right? And he's imagining being friends with Spider-Man, being best friends with Spider-Man. And in his head, Spider-Man comes to, and he's drawing all these pictures, and he's, you know, shows him daydreaming and thinking about it. And he imagines Spider-Man coming to his window, and it's still Peter time. And he takes his mask off, and this little kid's head, what he's drawing, he drew a black man because he's seeing himself.
Oh, Spider-Man, that's Peter. Dope.
Yeah.
And that was powerful to me. I remember reading that one. Oh, yeah, like, that's everybody's hero because they're putting themselves in that place. They're seeing that person how they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's funny how difficult that is. And I've written multiple articles about, like, the idea of how important it is to have inclusive characters. Like having someone like Jessica Jones, and Valkyrie has been vocal about how much he hates that Kristen Renner isn't, like they make her look bulkier.
My problem with Kristen Renner was that she's not Jessica Jones. I don't know if you feel that way, Shannon, but... because Jessica Jones is like a real woman. Like, she's like got shape, she's got figure, she's not anorexic, she's not like this skinny little preppy like white chick. It bothered me when they chose her, and Mark was like, "Why are you so mad?" I'm like, "Because like she's not a real woman. She's what society wants her to be."
I get what you're saying. I mean she is a real woman, but I get what you're saying when she, the whole thing about Jess was that she just looked like your every woman.
Yeah,
and she wasn't. She doesn't look like your
anything.
Your and so, like, you know what I mean? It's like you, you rarely get these characters that kind of do these things. Like, so when I started getting into, and like even now when I'm like reading, more things that aren't Marvel and DC, I'm reading Powers and I'm reading Invincible, and I'm finding out that like a lot of comic book companies are actually more inclusive. They actually do talk about more than just, white male characters. There are like woman characters that will kick your head to the fucking moon.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And then like you have Brian Michael Bendis, who was a white Jewish man, I believe, who has made all these like strong characters that aren't white.
Well, shoot, look at Terry Moore. He writes some of the best female characters I've ever read, and he is a straight white man. Like, there are ways to get his logo, his Abstract Studios logo, the triangle. He didn't even realize the significance of that in the gay community when he wrote his character. Like, when he created his logo, he had no idea. Like, some of it, but he's also like, he's a poet and he's a writer and he's a musician, so he's way more in tune, obviously, to his emotions than I'd say the general average male. But there's so much more than what Marvel and DC are going to give you. Let's just be honest.
And then me and Superwoke love Jason Aaron, who Superwoke loves Jane Foster Thor, and I love
my favorite Thor.
And I love the fact that he made it a point to go, she's not Lady Thor. She's not Woman Thor.
She's fucking Thor.
And then this new Jennifer Walters, who's not She-Hulk. She's just the Hulk. And he did this whole panel about how she was envious of Bruce, because Bruce was like this monster, this scary monster who isn't getting groped by these supervillains. And isn't getting these pictures taken. It's like the idea of someone using their privilege to point these things out, as we talked about before, is really important.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And I'm seeing it a lot more with this. And then sometimes you have writers who make mistakes and they're like, hey, my intentions were to do this, and immediately they go, I apologize and I will do better.
See, that's the thing. I am fine with people making mistakes, because that means you learn something, right? Making mistakes is natural and it's a part of life, as long as you learn something from it, right? As long as you grow from that. So at my work, we just posted it today. I went to each one of the other artists there to make sure that I wasn't just talking for the studio, that everybody on board. But I was like, I want to make a statement for the community. I want to say that we're here for the community, but I want to do something. I don't want to just say Black Lives Matter. I want to actually do something. But we're offering anybody who has a tattoo that is offensive to a race, religion, minority, This is, we're encompassing appropriation. You got a kanji tattoo that you thought was really cute because it was popular in the 90s, but you realize this is some appropriation, or you got a dream catcher tattoo. Probably not the thing that you should have put on your body, right? That's just some appropriating some culture. You can grow. You can learn. Yeah, and I mean, yes, clearly we're talking about swastikas and Confederate flags. And I mean, you went to jail and you had to get affiliated and you got that thing on your body and you don't want to do that anymore. That's okay. You made a mistake. We're here for you. We'll cover it up for half the price. Covered up for half the
money. I love that.
And it's a dope idea because it gives people, it's like, it is like, it shows people that, like, and we've seen it a million times where people are like, I was a teenager. I made a mistake. Can you please not, can you please not cancel me for doing stupid shit that I did when I was 14?
So we're just saying it's okay without embarrassment, without shame. It's okay. You made a mistake.
Let me fix it.
We're gonna fix it.
I think
that shows how connected we really are, right? Like, believe it or not, unfortunately, people of color and vulnerable communities, we just don't have the numbers to really affect the type of change we really need to see happen in this country or in the world. So it really, it's really going to take white people, white men, white women to really, you know, take up a fight that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that we all have a stake in.
I've gotten yelled at by black people who told me, who get don't let back when I say that we need white allies because they, like, they want us to be able to do it on our own.
But you know what's funny about that is? It's like,
when we talk, no matter what it is, there's a lens. Yeah. When each one of you guys says something, and if you guys even raise your voice and get emotional, you are officially being aggressive. When me and Maria talk, we have a conversation and we get a slightest bit emotional. We are seen through a lens. We need the people that look like them to speak up because they will be more likely to listen and not just automatically dismiss because it's coming from somebody that looks like them.
And they're more likely to be heard as well, which is the sad part about it. It's like I can say the exact same thing that someone else will, and then it'll be like, It's like, well, you said it and you were angry. I'm like, I said it in the exact same tone. It's like, oh, that's right, I'm a big black guy. My bad.
Right.
But
let me get my white angry translator.
You know what I mean? And it's funny.
My husband and I joke, he's a white beard for me, but he legit is. There is stuff me, no joke, because I can't buy Sudafed. I can't.
Wow.
They look at me, they look at my locks, they assume I'm a dread addict. I've been refused. But the same person, he walked in 30 minutes after me. I called him crying when I got refused because I was having a bad allergy day and I went in for some Sudafed and they refused me. He went in 36 minutes later and walked up to the counter, asked the exact same thing. They didn't ask him one question. And he called for the manager and was like, my wife was just in here. She just got, he let him have it. But he was like, well, she didn't say the right symptoms. She didn't have the
right symptoms. Are you fucking kidding me?
She wanted to put it in Sprite. I didn't say anything. You didn't ask me any questions at all. You gave them to me.
So he waited until he swiped his card and had the purchase in his hand, and then he called them out. Because they've asked me this whole list of questions and all this stuff. And I looked at her, too, when I was on my way out there. I was so mad when she told me no. I said, look at my skin. Do you really think, do I look like a fucking crackhead to you? I was so mad. But he literally... They didn't ask him one question. They just said yes, sir, and handed it to him. And so I literally have to send him in to get stuff from me because I know that I'm going to get profiled, and I know that they're going to assume
right away.
And for the people that say, "Oh, that's not true," or whatever, right? Like,
that's not true.
You know, racism's been over for whatever. Like, you know, you're not treated differently. Look at when we attained the highest position in the country. The most powerful man in the world was a black man, right? And if he did 1% of the craziness that Donald Trump has done the past 4 years, he would have been shot.
Do you know what's funny about this?
Remember the tan suit?
No.
Oh, my God, the tan suit.
Because he wore a tan suit.
Guys, Michelle Obama didn't wear sleeves on her fucking dress.
Oh, my
and
God.
People were losing their fucking mind. Because she had sleeveless fucking dresses,
how dare
she show her shoulders? Meanwhile, Ivanka Trump was on fucking Playboy's cover. Like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
Oh, there was also the pound, I forget what happened, but he walked, but like Michelle and Barack walked past and gave each other a pound. Oh my God, I can't believe this shit. It's like,
oh, the fist bump.
The fist right. bump.
Dang, oh, I forgot.
They were so angry, like so angry about the fact that that family had no scandal and no issues. Well,
that's the thing. He was the highest position, and it threatened people's sense of security. And Trump is a direct result of that threat.
Yeah.
Someone said he's the polar opposite of everything Obama was. And it's so goddamn true. And you know what's funny about this? Is people in, like, other countries were happy. They were like, wow. Yeah. America did it. They like they're going somewhere. And then a year later, and then like 8 years later, they're like, ah, fuck. And like now they're like,
do you know how many people are like, I'm so sorry you have to live in that country. Oh, like, it's so embarrassing. Like, I can't believe you guys are still having race wars like this. Like, it's crazy that like everything is this bad. Like, I'm like, what?
And it's funny when I have this conversation with people and they're like, is it really that bad? And I go,
but you know what? And here's the thing, and I hate making this just. I mean, we're all American here. Like, it's you know, that's the thing that's in front of us. But yo, this is a global issue. Like, if somebody from France, if a white person from France tells you, like, I don't understand why it's so racist in America, yo, just I don't know. I don't normally condone violence, but smack them in the face because it's just as bad there.
They're indigenous people.
It's God. The Aboriginal people in fucking, well, it's funny because all around the world, if you're an Aboriginal person or you're native of the land, it's pretty much, fuck you. We don't understand your tribe and your culture or your practices, so, you know, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, it's nasty.
I'm gonna take it. That's kind of, that whole colonization.
Yeah, I mean, we could do a whole. We could create a whole podcast.
Another episode on that.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God. You know, I'll end this now because Shannon said she had 20 minutes an hour ago.
Okay.
Wow.
I did say I had 20 minutes.
Thank you, Shannon. And Shannon's husband is
Jason. Jason, right? Yeah.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Shannon. And I know I kind of hit you last minute. But I want, one of the things me and Super Woke pride ourselves on doing on the show is if we're going to have conversations about a community, we want to make sure that we at least get the community on here. So if we're saying something wrong, then the person on there can check us about it. Like, I don't have conversations about black women without black women on there. I have conversations about women in general without women. Like, I could be a misogynist. And when we do, all me and Super Woke do is go, hey, we support you. And that's really what it comes down to. So I want to thank you for coming on here, taking the time. You just got off of work. So thank you for doing that. If you have anything to promote, please let me know. Please let everyone know now.
Not right now. I'll let you get to Indiana so I can tattoo you.
when you come in, I'll let you tattoo something on me if you can find a spot somewhere.
Oh, I'll find a spot.
He has spaces. Don't let him fill you.
You are not allowed to tattoo my ass. No, because that was the first thing you were going to do. You are not allowed to tattoo my ass.
Dang it.
No, that was the worst attempt at reverse psychology I've ever seen. I know
that dude ain't going to work for me either.
No, he's totally getting this out. I'm doing a whole thing, too.
Like a whole scene?
He's going to have a suit. I'm doing a whole suit on him. Like full everything. Oh,
full armor.
I'm going to do, like, we'll have a scoop for the neck, and it'll stop at his wrist, but everything else down, I'm doing a full suit.
So full ass.
Ass is getting covered.
Jason, I want to see the full ass when it comes out.
She's about to Banksy you, dude.
Damn it, Wade.